I mean, like you say, look, they set an early pace and they've continued to kind of push out the gap. At the minute, it sits at 5 points, which, like you say, it's probably insurmountable, but, you know, you never know to the final game, but it's looking likely. And this year is the first year that UCD have adopted a whole scholarship approach. So, in other words, every single player on the team is in the scholarship system in UCD. So, I mean, it's shown massive potential for that system, you know, to develop in other clubs and stuff, but it shows the benefits of it so far.
And they lost the likes of Georgie Kelly, a prolific goal scorer, but that didn't really impact too much because they've a really quality squad.
Yeah, and they're after bringing in Conor Davis from England now for the remainder of the season, and he looks to be a serious prospect. I think it was Reading he came from. He looks to have lightning feet. He scored a couple recently as well, so it looks like Georgie Kelly, I won't say he hasn't been missed because, I mean, he's only signed for a few games so far, but, I mean, it looks like void has been filled somewhat.
Now, this year in the First Division, we have a scenario whereby second, third and fourth place gets you into a playoff. If you finish fourth, you could end up with six playoff games, so it could be quite a congested end to the season. Finn Harps currently second in the table and looking good to retain that second spot.
There's a 2 point gap back themselves between themselves and Shelburne, and then you're going back another two to Drogheda. So between second, third and fourth, you're talking 4 points in total, then another 2 points back to Longford. Longford had a fantastic result there over the weekend, a 4-1 win over Galway to kind of keep themselves in the hunt. Every game from now on in, I suppose, is Longford trying to keep on to the coattails of Drogheda. But like you say, Finn Harps, you would assume would be fairly okay in the playoff spot there. You'd imagine they'll retain that till the end of the season. They've been on an amazing run of form as of late since their defeat to UCD back in June. They kept six clean sheets in the league in a row, and only recently conceded the weekend there, but still won 3-1 against Athlone. So they're in a serious run of form as well.
Absolutely, and Ollie Horgan has brought in a number of players since the midsummer break, including Nathan Boyle on loan from Derry City. He scored twice against Athlone on Friday night, and certainly the guys he has brought in has lifted the team, and as you mentioned there, they're on a good run of form. The big surprise probably in the First Division is Galway United, and they're pretty much... they'll need results to go their way, put it that way, after, as you mentioned, they're a thumping at the hands of Longford Town. It's looks like being a disappointing season for a team that would have been one of the favourites at the start of the campaign to go up.
Absolutely. I was just listening this morning to an interview conducted by Alan Murphy on his own club media, where he put his hand up in the air and said, look, for the league, like that, our season's finished pretty much in terms of achieving a playoff objective, whereas we have to focus now on the cup, and we have to look and say, look, the cup is now our focus. So, I mean, to be fair to Alan Murphy, when he took over, he blooded a few youngsters. Obviously, being manager of the under-17s, he knows, you know, the youth setup there, so he knows the talent coming through. So, look, they had a good bounce at the start of his management career there, the senior management career there, and I suppose it's kind of tapered off now, and he said as much himself. So the focus is on the cup for them, so hopefully a decent cup run will put a bit of light back into the season. But yeah, it's kind of taken us all by surprise that they haven't featured more heavily towards the top of the table.
And just to explain that third and fourth, the two teams who finish in those positions, they play in a two-legged playoff. The winners of that then take on the team who finishes second, and the winners of that meet the second bottom team from the Premier Division, and it's looking increasingly likely that will be Limerick.
Yeah, Bray at the weekend were beaten 3-1 by Dundalk. They're putting in, I suppose, the atmosphere around the Carlisle ground at the minute is a bit more positive given the recent takeover, but at the end they're still not getting the results. So, I mean, there's a 9 point gap at the minute between Bray and Limerick, so it looks the reality that Limerick are going to sit there because Sligo Rovers are 8 points ahead of them. So, like you said, the most likely result is that Limerick will end up in the playoffs facing whoever comes out of that three-way battle between Harps, as it stands, Harps, Shells and Drogheda.
Yeah, and Limerick and Harps met a few years ago in a famous playoff, so that could be a case of history repeating itself. Rafael Cataru getting on the score sheet for Sligo. He's been a great servant for them, and that third goal against Limerick the other night proving to be the insurance score, and Sligo have certainly picked things up in the last few weeks.
Yeah, Sligo are another strange one. Like, I mean, there was a lot of new signings brought in at the start of the year. I mean, you know, a change of ownership and roles with Micheál Slingerman being deposed for Chelsea loanee Mitchell Beeney. You've a lot of youngsters in and around the first team squad. Then you've obviously got Mikey Drennan, who's come in now, there at the start of the summer. Took a while to settle in terms of his goal scoring, but I mean, got a few at the weekend. You had Greg Moorhouse, who had come in at the start of the season, has went out. You have David Cawley, who's playing probably some of the best football of his career so far. So you have a nice mix of people who are new to the league, like the likes of Mitchell Beeney, and people who are not so new to the league with the likes of David Cawley.
Now, looking more up towards the other end of the table, from the word go, we knew it was going to be Dundalk and Cork battling it out for the honours, and that's the way it's turned out. Behind them, a bit of a race for the other European spot, and Waterford, having got promoted last season, they got off to a great start, then they hit a dip, but as things stand, they're probably favourites for third position.
Yeah, like you say, look, They got out of the traps fairly quickly. I mean, some of their loan signings, the likes of Duffus, the likes of Vigourou, it was a matter of seeing how they would react when Vigourou returned to Swindon. And they have brought in a number of signings over the summer break with the likes of Noah Babe and Hutchinson, who scored at the weekend there as well. So at the minute they have a 4-point gap over Shamrock Rovers, but they've played a game more, so they're the favourites at the minute. They're in a decent run of form, and Rovers were in a decent run of form, but obviously that was a disappointing result against Bohemians, so whether that will stop them in the tracks overall or whether it will be seen as a blip.
Yeah, and Rovers having been dumped out of the FAI Cup by Drogheda, they really do need to pick things up for the remainder of the league campaign. For Derry City, Tom, it's been another topsy-turvy season. They do, of course, have the EA Sports League Cup final to look forward to, and they're somewhat of the specialists in that competition. They'll certainly be fancied to overcome Cove Ramblers. In the league, looks like being another mid-table position, probably fifth the way things stand, and they may well miss out on that route to Europe through the league.
Yeah, look, like you say, a lot of signs came in the start of the season. Kenny Shields, again, a lot of players, a lot of unproven players in the league, and they haven't really featured very heavily at all. He continued that then with over the summer, bringing in the Canadian guy Fisk, but he also brought in his son Dean Shields, who's had a taste of the league before with Dundalk in 2016. So it's starting to, you know, they're starting to get back. I won't say get back on track again. They never completely end off if you're a mid-table team, but they are, you know, if they ended up at the end of the season with an EA Sports Cup in the bag, narrowly removed from European competition in the league, I mean, it wouldn't be seen as the worst season ever. You know, if you're coming away with silverware, it's not that bad a season, but probably would have expected more from Derry City this year. And I suppose it's a bit of a surprise to see Rory Patterson leave mid-season as well. So, who's to say what's going to happen now in the off-season?
Yeah, and we still have the FAI Cup to look forward to. Again, you'd suspect that Dundalk and Cork, as long as they avoid each other, well, they could well both go all the way. And elsewhere, well, Bohemians, they've had that great run of results against Shamrock Rovers. They might be dark horses. Anybody else you might see who could challenge the big two in the cup?
No, I can't see, like you say, unless they meet before the final, I can't see anybody coming out of the pack to challenge Dundalk or Cork in the cup competitions. Waterford in a one-off obviously have taken points off both Dundalk and Cork. It remains to be seen whether again they can replicate that in the cup, possibly. And again, obviously with the arrival of Noel Hunt from England and scoring goals, you never know. So if anybody outside of Dundalk and Cork, I suppose I'm going to take the easy route and say possibly Waterford is who I see being somewhat of dark horses, but I think the reality is that it'll be a Dundalk-Cork final.